Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you some good news I saw today being reported from WOSU in Columbus. Evidently, last week they wrapped up their voter registration. In fact, you know, the second highest voter registration they've had since the record high of 2008. They have 8,073,417 voters on the rolls. And like I said, second highest that they've had since the record year of 2008. And Democrats saw a 500,000 jump in registered voters, which got me thinking, you know, now is this, you know, a 500,000. If you had that in 2016, you swing Ohio to a blue state. And, you know, it's got me thinking about the polling. The poll's really tight right now. In fact, the New York Times poll has it at, 45-44 for Biden. The Baldwin-Wallace poll puts it at 47-45 for Trump. Overall, it's right dead smack, right in there within a percentage of each other. And it got me thinking, wow, you know, in 2016, Trump won Ohio 52-44. So Ohio could be in play. This could be the making of Ohio as a blue state, which, wow, would be something, at least from my perspective, as a kid who grew up in Cleveland, something good. I'm here to share some thoughts on the possibility of Ohio moving to the blue category. I've asked Ohio State Representative Tavia Galonsky to come talk with us. She represents Ohio's 35th state district. Tavia, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me. I love this.
No, I saw this and I'm going, this is incredible. Is it possible that you've got this huge surge towards the Democrats? Now, look, Ohio is one of those states that's not partisan like Pennsylvania. You've got like 4.5 million of undeclared, which, mm-hmm. you know, dwarfs both, you know, is more than both parties. But mm-hmm. still, that move kind of tells me something.
It tells me something. And, you know, again, thank you for having me on to talk about this. I'm excited. And it shows what I've been seeing in my district is true. If you remember, Trump won Barberton in 2016. I represent almost the whole city of Barberton. In 2018, I won, a Democrat, every precinct in Barberton, okay? So that should tell you something right there. But what I've seen is something different. People who vote, some person who voted for Trump, a gentleman, contacted me today and said, that's it. I just can't vote for him again. I am, you know, it's because of what he's done about the military. And look at where our country is. Here in Ohio, we're in economic free fall.
Right.
We are in this pandemic. And try to remember, picture this in your head. The last time I was at the State House was September 1st. And even then, our colleagues across the aisle, the Republicans, weren't wearing masks and they weren't social distancing. They were acting like none of this matters, right? And so, you know, now all of that is televised. I've heard from countless people who are Democrats, independents, and people who crossed over who said to me, oh, I'm done. From the State House all the way to the White House, pure Republican corruption, and they don't want any more of it. Ohio doesn't want it.
Yeah, and irresponsible. I mean, you know, look, you know, if you don't care about yourself, that's one thing. But and I say this all the time. I wear the mask because I'm being courteous to others. If I'm willing to put myself in harm's way, that's one thing. But being someone who goes, you know, the hell with you, I'm not wearing a mask because I don't care about you. That's the message I think it really sends.
It really does. And so what the other interesting thing is, most of the people who are not wearing masks, they're not even bothering with social distancing. So it's not just once I don't care about you, but it's twice I don't care about you. I don't know where the anger is generated from, because, you know, we're not enemies. The virus is the enemy, and we should be trying to fight it by washing our hands, practicing social distancing, and wearing a mask. It's the least we can do when we have no cure and we have no vaccine. It's senseless, and it makes me sad because, you know, it'd be one thing if the regular people were walking around acting like this, but we have leaders in Columbus here in Ohio who are doing that, and it's just horribly disappointing. I think, you know, we have an allegation of the largest bribery scheme in Ohio history perpetrated by our most recent speaker stepping down from an FBI. And don't forget, I've only been in the legislature 3 years in May, and I've had and we've had four different speakers.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, remember, we run every 2 years. First, you know, I was there. We had Rosenberger step down due to an FBI investigation. Then we had Smith for a couple of months. Then we had a big speaker battle. We had Householder. Householder stepped down 80 days ago, I think it is, in the middle of an FBI. And actually, he didn't even step down. He had to be forced out by legislature. You know, when Ohio families, women in particular in the suburbs, see this kind of shenanigans and this type of breach of trust, they go to the ballot box and they express themselves. That's what I predict on November 3rd. It might take a while to get the election results in, but I'm predicting a blue Ohio.
Yeah, I'm hoping. And, you know, one of the things, you know, as, like I said, I grew up in Cleveland, so I still consider myself attached to Ohio, even though I live in Pennsylvania. And, you know, a lot of my friends here in Pennsylvania, they like to say that, you know, our politics are more corrupt than anyone. And I go, I don't know. Ohio's giving us a run for the money.
Oh, it's embarrassing. And, you know, as a state legislator before this pandemic, when I was able to travel, people that I didn't even know in other states, when we would go to a national conference for state legislators, they would come up to me and go, hey, we know all about your corruption. And that was before the most recent largest bribery scheme in Ohio history.
Wow.
You know, this, first of all, let's try to remember, it isn't that you work for me, that I'm supposed to be, you know, just doing whatever I want out here. This is a position of public trust. And so when I first heard about the bribery scheme, first I was just blown away. I was shocked. And then I moved straight over to rage because people trust us with their money. You know, whether somebody gives contributions or whatever they do with the people's money, our taxes, you know, it's a level of fraud and a level of deceit. And what I'm here to make very clear is we've got nothing to do with it as far as Democrats. It's all straight out Republican corruption from the State House to the White House. We got to vote them out. And every time you turn around and you think you're going to give them a chance and you think, oh, well, you know, look at President Trump. You know, he passed criminal justice reform. You know, maybe that's okay. You know, maybe we don't always agree on issues. But he killed 215,000 people. He knew. He knew what this virus was, and he just let it run around. He himself didn't wear a mask. I think he brought some COVID-19 here to Ohio when he came here. Why have our numbers spiked this week? Did you know we recorded over 1,800 cases of COVID? That was a record for us since this pandemic. Right after he comes here, what's that about? And we just crossed 5,000 deaths. It's a travesty.
No, you're right. But, you know, he'll tell you that he's now immune. And he feels better than he ever did before. And thank goodness for our super drugs. And, you know, you said a minute ago that the Republicans are acting like there's nothing going on. Well, that comes from the top. You've got exactly. Trump basically saying we're beyond this. In fact, you know, he even goes into some really weird areas of that he got it on purpose because that's what a real leader would do. And then there was the whole, you know, God wanted me to have it or whatever that was about. Is it any surprise that, you know, that's their leader and that's who they follow, that we then find out all of this stuff as it filters down?
Well, I'm old enough to remember two serious calls in American history, what went on with Charles Manson and also Jim Jones. If you know anything about cult personality, one of the first things they do is to harm their own members and to see if they can get away with that. He's been doing that, talking about taking away the Affordable Care Act, putting all these judges on the court to pack the court so that then, you know, no decisions will have a good, you know, a good look at them, right? And then finally, knowing that this virus was airborne in February and not telling us, what kind of a leader walks around pleased that their followers are dying?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other explanation for it. And you can't tell me that he didn't know that herd immunity wasn't a thing. He knew. We have the tapes to prove it. And so the real question is, what kind of enablers, what kind of Ohio Republicans who are all feeding into the White House? You know, the governor is a co-chair of his committee right now today. And so, you know, the governor had a chance not to have 5,000. Over 5,000 people are dead from COVID in Ohio. And those are only the ones we know about. And I hate to get really personal, but can I break in and let you know that My mom is one of the over 7 million people who's recovering from COVID. She reached her 79th birthday by the grace of God. It was April 14th when I got the notification that she tested positive. I almost blacked out. And so none of us have been able to see my mom since March in person. Lucky for her, she got excellent care. But think about this. My mother's in memory care. She didn't bring the virus to anyone. She didn't leave there. She's not allowed. She can't leave there without assistance. Someone brought the virus to her. Yeah. And that type of negligence, when you have a right, you know, we all have a right to be free. This is the home of the free and the brave, right? It comes with responsibilities. And why would Republicans just put that in their back pocket and ignore it? They're the ones who've been preaching all these years, rights but responsibilities. But you don't have a responsibility not to give my mother COVID-19? Sure you do.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the Republican Party used to be the, or at least they told us they were, the party of personal responsibility. That's completely gone out of the window. And now they just look like two-year-olds in the cereal aisle complaining that they didn't get the sugary cereal.
Well, there you go. And it's offensive to two-year-olds. And I just want to say one more thing about my mom. Her lungs will never be the same. And so people can walk around, you know, the president can walk around talking about, oh, you know, I've overcome it or whatever. Well, I noticed they threw, you know, a strange cocktail of a mixture of things to get him back. He doesn't want to think to himself, the rest of us don't have that type of health care available to us. In fact, we have to sweat it out just even going in for a hangnail to the emergency room to wonder if that's ever going to even be covered. You know, and what's being done about it? Nothing from the White House to the State House in Columbus. It's all corrupt.
Yeah, in fact, you know, these last couple of days we've been, you know, been hearing from a Supreme Court nominee that, you know, many of us believe will be the deciding vote in pitching the Affordable Care Act and taking health care away, what little health care some people have, completely away. And you're spot on. I mean, you know, Donald Trump has the best health care the world can offer. You know, a six-room suite at Walter Reed Hospital, a helicopter on call, a team of doctors and nurses, and the best whatever he needs at that second. No waits, no, hey, make an appointment, and we'll see you later. No, get in line. Everything he could possibly want at the moment he wants it. And there's part of me that goes, either one, he thinks it's like that for everyone, or two, and more probably, he doesn't really care about you or me or anybody else.
Yep, that's exactly right. And along with the president not caring about you or I, who else doesn't care about you? The Senate, moving forward, the majority of the Senate members, ignoring the rest of us who need COVID-19 relief. You know, I just would love to have the remaining $600 million that's available here in COVID funds to be rolled over. You think they'd be worried about that, but no. What they did was they pushed all of us aside and said, we want to focus on this one woman, getting her on the court so that we can try to control women. And here's the problem with that. And I hate it if somebody out there doesn't really understand this. If women seek abortions, they will have abortions. The difference is they will not be safe or legal. And this is what happens in desperation. If you think you can throw people into poverty, take away their food, evict them, just like all over Ohio's 35th district, I see people being evicted left and right, and people are in desperate straits, taking their coins to the grocery store to pay for groceries. If you think people in desperation who find themselves in an unwanted pregnancy won't take desperate acts, you're wrong.
Yep.
They will.
And rich women will. Rich women will get the care that they need. It's going to be the poor women who die. And, you know,
exactly.
I remember my mother telling a story of a friend of hers who, you know, went to Kentucky for a botched abortion, and she ended up dying from it because of the infection and all that stuff, because it wasn't legal in Ohio at the time. And it was one of those things. Now, this is going back into the late 60s, but, you know, do we really want my daughters to have to go through what their grandmother and her generation went through? And I say no.
Well, right. And what it is once again, as a person who's been a woman for many years, it's misplaced concern. You believe it or not, I don't believe there's anyone who joyfully goes toward having an abortion. We're placing the concern in the wrong place. If we really cared about what happens with children once they're here and what happens with their families, then we would seek a family-sustaining wage.
Yep.
We would seek housing for all. I got homeless people on almost every corner of the highway. I'm bordered by the highway here in Akron, and they're just left and right. I saw a couple of guys fighting each other for the corner one time a couple of weeks ago. That's where we are. And if you think, again, desperate people will do desperate things. And as I've always said before, if you're not experiencing it in your neighborhood, just sit back and wait a little while. They're coming. Because part of what we have to do in this great big world of ours is take care of each other. And so you don't need government to solve your problems, but you need government to help you. And by the way, our government got us into this. Donald Trump did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And at the end of this is why November 3rd is so important. And obviously, I'm hoping that people will have voted already. I've already cast my ballot. I got my mail-in ballot. I filled it out. I dropped it off at the box there at the election county election office. Made sure it was done right. Had the envelope stuffed properly. Had the woman at the place double check it for me. And look, do your due diligence, but make sure your voice is heard. Make sure your ballot is cast. Because this, I think this election is too important. And I think the fact that we've seen so many people in places like Ohio who have come out to register, I think it shows the importance of what people think this election is.
I agree completely, because remember, there are many Ohioans who know that the pandemic is real and they know that the virus is real. They've watched their fellow Ohioans catch this COVID virus. I've had to write many condolence letters just here in the 35th district. But one of the things I want you to keep in mind is this. Right here in Summit County, today I wanted to vote. I couldn't vote, though, because I found out the line was a minimum of 1 hour long, maximum of three, maybe 3.5 hours. So I sent my whole family. They were able to vote. My son came by afterwards, and he goes, I can't believe it took us 3.5 hours to vote. And he said to me, Mom, all of it should be by mail. Well, you know who stopped that? Frank LaRose. Once again, the Republican Party, why don't they want to vote? I think people get it here in Ohio that if we vote, we're probably not going to vote for them because they make everything harder on us. In the middle of a pandemic, it's hard for me to see how he could even sleep knowing that old people, sick people, my kid with a pre-existing condition, he made them all stand in hours-long lines where they shouldn't be during the middle of a pandemic in order to vote. And I think it's changed my son, and I think it's changed some Ohioans. They're going to start seeing this for what it is. This party doesn't care about you.
That's it, and I hope the folks there in Ohio will turn their state from red to blue. Tavia, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye now.
Ohio State Representative Tavia Galonsky. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History.